Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as you know, I was on vacation the last couple of weeks. We came back through Canada, and our last day, we stop in Stratford, Ontario, to go to the Shakespeare Festival. And we see this Shakespeare comedy called Comedy of Errors. You know, that wasn't our vacation, Comedy of Errors, but that was a joke. Comedy of Errors is set in the city of Ephesus. And I thought, oh, great, this is so cool because I'm preaching on Ephesians today. So you're going to get some Shakespeare. But not Comedy of Errors. William Shakespeare wrote four plays that were like historical plays. And you think, okay, English history, boring. Okay, I don't want to hear that. No. I mean, it's like exciting. If these were today, if he had written these today, these would be like the action-adventure stories of the 16th century. So you wrote Richard III. You got a lot of numbers here. Richard III, Henry IV, Part 1, Henry IV, Part 2, and Henry V. It's kind of a series. And so what's this about? The plays about Henry IV are really like growing up stories, okay? And the main characters are Henry IV, of course, who's King of England, and his son, who is the Prince of Wales, going to be Henry V, right? And the last play is about him. Well, Henry IV and Henry, we'll call him Prince Hal. That's what sometimes they call him in the plays, because you got Henry and Henry. You know, if you just call him Henry, you get confused. King Henry has his son, Prince of Wales, Prince Hal, and he's not really very happy with them. And why? Because Prince Hal goes out partying all the time. He's unruly. He doesn't listen to his dad. And his dad is like, oh, you know, he's kind of judgmental. He's like, oh, man, come on, grow up. Henry IV, the king, he even says things like at the beginning of Henry IV, Part 2, he says, oh, that my son were switched at birth by fairies. I wish I had somebody else as my son, he's saying, right? And if that's not enough, he says, why is God doing this to me? God is punishing me for my past sins by giving me this son. How's that? That's brutal. And so, let me get this part right. So, Shakespeare writes this great line that I want to share with you. I'll just share a couple verses here. He says, Henry IV, Part 2, uneasy lies the head that wears a crown. Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown. And today it's kind of morphed into, you may have heard it this way, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Why? Because of the pressure. Okay? And Henry IV feels the pressure because he's King of England. And Henry Prince Hal feels the pressure because of his dad. Now, you and I don't have to worry about, I don't know about you, but I'm not in line to be King of England. We don't have to worry about that. But do we have pressure in our lives? Do we have a dad or a mom who seems judgmental to us and we can't do anything wrong? Do we have children which seem unruly? Do we have expectations placed upon us, or that we place upon ourselves by our husband, our wife, our boss, our children, our parents, our grandparents, church? Pressure, you feel that? Well, I'm going to make it even heavier for you. You think you got it tough. Heavy are the responsibilities of those who are chosen to wear the crown. Because with wearing the crown comes not just its glory, but all the grief that comes with it. All the complaints that everybody has about those who are in leadership. All the pressure that's put upon you. And God puts pressure upon you too. Because he says, your job, if you're a leader, is to love the people. And guess what? I'm going to lay it on you. God says, you, Christians, are a royal priesthood. You are royal. You've got a crown of glory too, which Christ gives you. And that crown of glory gives you responsibilities. And it gives you pressure. And what are you called to? St. Paul lays it out here in Ephesians 4. Heavy are the responsibilities of Christian love and Christian charity. And get this one, forgiving one another, which we're not good at. It's not natural for us. That's your responsibility. Christ commands that we be tender-hearted to one another. Forgiving one another, not because we're so noble and because we're so royal, or because we're so kind, not because of us. Rather, we are to love one another as Christ loved us. That is a lot. That's a lot to ask of somebody. And St. Paul says to the Ephesians, the same thing God says to us today, you've been called away from something. You've been called away from your loveless past. And as Gail read earlier, that means everything. He says, thieves, stop thieving. And if you're idle, get a job and work for something that you may have something not only to provide for yourself, but to share with he who is in need. And the thief is the first one he lists because that's the easiest. It's worse. Because we're plagued with other things like lustful desires and greed and hatefulness. And St. Paul says, don't even give the devil an inch. Don't give him any opportunity. Because he will take that evil desire. He will take that lust or that greed if you give him an inch. And he will multiply it and magnify it until it's miles and miles of problem. Problem in your life, problem for the people around you, separating you from God and leading you to death. So you might say, wow, thanks. Thanks, Pastor. Thanks, Christ, for giving me that pressure. But that's not what Jesus came to give you. As he said in the gospel reading today, he comes to give you life, not death. He comes to give you forgiveness, not condemnation. He comes to change your life from one of love. And how does he do it? He doesn't do it and say, okay, you got to go do this. He says, I'm coming to you and I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you love. How? By my flesh on the cross. Shakespeare says, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Heavy is the head of Christ who wears the crown of thorns. It's a crown of thorns that carries with it every judgmentalism every father had or was, like Henry IV. It carries with it all the unruliness of every son or daughter who didn't obey their parents and went out carousing like Henry, like Prince Hal. Every human being who had lust in his heart or her heart. Every human being who was greedy and wanted to steal something. And every human being who did not want to forgive someone. Those are your thorns and my thorns that we place on the head of Christ in that crown of thorns. That's what he took to the cross. Heavy was the head that went to the cross bearing that crown. The good news is he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead to give you new life, to give you a new self, to change you. He delivers this to you in your baptism. He says, you are new. You're not that person that you don't even want to be. You're going to live eternally in grace and peace and mercy and in forgiveness. Because of that love that he has for you, you're changed. Now you're going to fail, and that's forgiven too. But your life is new. He says, put off that old self and put on the new self and be renewed in your mind by the love of Christ. And let that love of Christ, which wells up in you because of what Christ has done for you, let it spill out upon other people in your life. In fact, let it be a fountain flowing out upon other people in your life. You get to share that love. Is that so hard? Heavy is the crown that, heavy is the head that bears the crown. Well, Jesus says, my yoke is light and easy. What I give to you. Because he's already done it. All the hard stuff he's done and gives to you in your baptism. I have one more quote for you from Shakespeare. Henry VIII, part 2. Oh, I got to tell you about it first. Okay, so the plot of Henry VIII, part 2. There's this dramatic scene at the end of the play, okay, where Henry the Fourth is dying, okay? And what happens when the king dies? Henry V will become king. So Prince Hal comes in and says he sees his dad dying there in bed, and he actually thinks he's dead. And he comes in and he takes the crown. Okay, this is going to be the crown. He takes the crown out of the where the king is, and very reverently kind of takes it and places it somewhere else in the next room. Well, Henry IV is not dead yet, and he wakes up and basically says, you know, Shakespeare's far more eloquent than me, but he says basically this. He says, couldn't you at least wait till I was dead before you grab for the crown? And Prince Hal says, I'm paraphrasing, he says, would that you were alive. The crown means nothing to me. You mean something to me. Your life is so much more valuable than the crown that I might inherit. And there's reconciliation between father and son after two plays worth of this, before Henry IV dies. And Prince Hal is changed. And it sounds like what St. Paul is talking about here in baptism. That's what I want to read to you. This is what St. St. Hal, no. This is what Prince Hal says. He's now Henry V. Okay, he's now king. He becomes king, and one of his drinking buddies, I'll just say drinking buddies, Falstaff, comes in, and he says this to him. Does this not sound like holy baptism to you? I put it to you. This is what he says to Falstaff. He says, presume not that I am the thing I was. For God doth know, so shall the world perceive, that I have turned away my former self. So will I those that kept me company. Brothers and sisters in Christ, examine yourselves. Remember your baptism. Recall that your old loveless self has been put away by Christ in the waters of holy baptism, drowned, you might say, that he might raise you up as a new creation. That's who you are in your baptism by the love of Christ. That's what you live in. Clothed in Christ's righteousness. Clothed in Christ's forgiveness. That is what he asks you to share with the people in your lives. Since we are Christ's people, bought by his blood, alive by his resurrection, you and I, let us put away all falsehood between us. Let us put away all malice between us. Let us live together in the love of Christ, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. Heavy is the crown, yet light is the yoke of Christ in his forgiveness of our sins, and as we forgive the sins of those who have sinned against us. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. That's your new self. And forgive one another as Christ forgave you. For the love of Christ, amen.